The title of the program, of course, is Balancing National Security and Transparency. I want to emphasize, and I'll make a few comments about the subject of the panel, and I want to emphasize that the difficulties surrounding this subject are not so much partisan in the political and partisan sense as they are institutional. The presidency, government agencies, and private groups such as defense contractors on one side, government employees and private individuals on the other. Among the questions that need to be asked about the so-called balance between national security and transparency are two. The first is, how much secrecy in the name of national security is really in the public interest? And second, when are whistleblowers justified in disclosing the government's national security information? President Obama has said that he believes in transparency and open government because, quote, transparency promotes accountability and provides information for citizens about what their government is doing. And early in his administration, he issued an open government directive for all executive departments and agencies. With regard to defense spending and overall national security policy, a great amount, of course, is shrouded in secrecy, and some of that is warranted. But in a democracy, as Obama indicated, a high degree of transparency is necessary to achieve appropriate oversight by the elected representatives, to prevent corruption, and to provide accountability. Transparency among states, including foreign powers, can also help avoid misperceptions and miscalculations about the potential uses of military power. After the 9/11 attack, the administration of George W. Bush promoted a great increase in secrecy in the name of national security, much of which was misguided. For example, overclassification of documents has always been a problem. But in 2004, 15.6 million documents were classified, about twice as many as the year before. Other measures taken to increase secrecy include the administration's refusal to disclose the names of certain national security officials, such as members of the President's Foreign Intelligence Board, its refusal to comply with congressional requests for documents, the prohibition of press coverage of the arrival of bodies of military persons killed in the war in Iraq, the fact that much of the costs of the war were put off budget and hidden from view, and an unprecedented amount of domestic surveillance that is spying on Americans was enhanced and instituted. Although the Obama administration's secrecy policies have not been so sweeping or arbitrary, at least some of the impulse to tighten security remains. Consider the case of Bradley, now called Chelsea Manning. She is a former Army intelligence specialist who was court-martialed and is now serving a 15-year prison sentence for making public large numbers of intelligence materials. Bradley says she released the materials to show the cause of the war in the Middle East. The documents also reportedly included videos showing U.S. aircraft strafing civilians in Iraq. And Edward Snowden, a former contract employee, remains in self-imposed exile to avoid prosecution for disclosing documents about the costs of domestic surveillance I'm sorry, about the government's domestic surveillance program. Now, there have been efforts by Obama to introduce greater transparency in some national security areas. For example, early in 2014, a good many years after 9/11 and after Obama actually took office, the president said in a speech about national security that for the intelligence community to be effective, the trust of the American people must be maintained. And, quote, we will reform programs and procedures in place to provide greater transparency. The speech was cited at a meeting just last October, convened by the Director of National Intelligence for the purpose of reviewing national security and transparency from the perspective of the intelligence community. After the meeting, a report was released containing a number of ideas for developing a, quote, transparency implementation plan. However, at about the same time, an intelligence transparency drama was taking place on Capitol Hill. The Senate Intelligence Committee uncovered instances where intelligence officials who faced investigations for their roles in the abuse of prisoners in CIA prisons were later promoted to higher office. Also uncovered were many instances where intelligence officials with troubled histories were reassigned to sensitive operations. The committee drafted legislation requiring the intelligence agencies to regularly report the names of officials being promoted, along with any credible information about them that would, quote, suggest that the individual is unfit or unqualified. But the Director of National Intelligence intervened in the legislative process and succeeded in getting the committee to remove the language about individuals who might be unfit or unqualified, all presumably with the consent of the White House, tacit or otherwise. Apparently, holding intelligence officials accountable for their misdeeds is outside the bounds of what the administration refers to as the, quote, principles of intelligence transparency. Finally, in these brief remarks, a few words about transparency in military spending. The U.S., for all its shortcomings, has among the most and probably the most transparent military spending policy than all other nations. A highly detailed military spending budget is published annually, as are congressional hearings in the House and Senate and debates on the floor of each House. And the same can be said about foreign policy among other programs related to national security. Even so, there are gaps in U.S. transparency that should be filled, such as the lack of information about the full cost of war. On the subject of the cost of war, Obama recently made figures that were apparently used in the White House for something like a cost-benefit analysis of the idea of enlarging U.S. involvement by deploying large numbers of combat troops to the Middle East wars. According to the White House, the cost of such involvement could be $10 billion per month, plus 100 U.S. troops killed and 500 wounded each month. In effect, with the release of those figures, Obama turned the tables on those who criticized many of his proposals for new or expanded domestic programs on the grounds that they are costly and not affordable. It should not be forgotten that there are military spending problems that need to be addressed. They include the lack of completeness in budgetary and other reports, such as the failure to include total medical care, adequate explanations for the many large cost overruns in weapons procurement, and the acquisition of weapons that are not necessary. Nevertheless, these problems are dwarfed by what takes place in many other countries. where military spending reports are notoriously misleading or non-existent, where corruption is rampant, where the press is highly restricted or controlled by the state, and where parliaments do not have enough information or the political authority to oversee national security programs.